We'll have special prayer for him, and Dr. Tackle's going to give a little, explain the situation much better than I can explain it, so I'm not going to try to explain exactly, but things are good, and looking for good outcome and good results. So let's stand together and see if we can't convince some other people to come in. But you know, something we haven't done in a long, long time. I want you to look around to somebody and just go greet them and tell them, hello, glad you're here, looking forward to what's going to happen in this service.
Flows. There is a fountain that drowns sorrows. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising.
Yeah. complete access to your life and your river. I don't want to just dip my toes in it. I don't want to just step in. I want to jump in. I want to be immersed.
My eyes on you.
striving seas, as you are singing over me. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising up. Come.
love this set that was curated for worship today. We get to come alive in the river. And if you know that you know that you know that you are God's, and God loves you, and that's why He created you, to be loved and to love others. So where you stand today in this room, you are surrounded by nothing but love. Let's choose today to acknowledge that energy and to embrace it, and to know that there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And that when we allow that, we can be in over our heads. Because everything is for your good. Everything is for your good. Everything God does is for your good, to bring you closer to Him for His glory. Thank you, God, that everything you do is for our good. And wherever we are standing right here today, we can rest in that. God says, right now, it's time for you to rest. God says, right now, everything's going to be okay. Thank you for that, Father. We carry that with us today.
He's getting, yeah. He's getting it today. Good morning. Man, I'm full. My heart is just full. Thank you, Dad. And I tell you, listening to Lauren say that we are just embrace the energy in the room, embrace the love. And I thought, this is the table. Amen. This is the table. For those of you visiting, this whole year we have made kind of our theme, if you will, about the banquet table and what the banquet table means. And for the past few weeks, Dad's been talking about table relationships and what relationships mean. And we know that relationships are important to God because He created us. For us, what Lauren said, to be loved. He created us to be in relationship with Him. And He created us to be in relationship with each other. That's how we see Him. That's how we know Him. That's how we hear Him. It's you and I in relationship with each other. Before I get into this, I do want to remind you guys that in 2 weeks, Dwayne and Sonny Swilly, they have, just a powerful, and I don't say that lightly, I say it with all the meaning that I can, ministry to families. And on Saturday, April the 8th, if you come here, it's at 9:30 it starts, 9 o'clock. 9 to 12 is what your morning will look like. And we'll start the morning off with worship, and then we're going to have a breakout session. In the breakout session, the women will be together, the men will be together, and then youth will be meeting as well, talking about their relationship with you guys. And there's childcare available, so if you can be here, I know there's probably sports games and stuff going on, but if you, in any possible way, can be here, I encourage you to do that. And then that Sunday, Dwayne will be sharing as well. So it's going to be really, really, really good. So Dad's been talking about relationships this past month, and you know, it's funny, if we just took everything we heard, everything that that he has shared, that we've gleaned from other people and really just applied it, it would just be easy, right? And the thing is, relationships are supposed to be easy. And so oftentimes, we buy into a lie. And the lie says, marriage is hard. The lie says, relationships are hard. The lie says, parenting, it's hard. It's all work. It is all a constant daily process of disciplining our thought life and disciplining our minds to do it well and to make it easy. But that's why Christ says, but my yoke is what? It's easy. My burden is light. And the really awesome thing about relationships is that when Jesus came, he came so we would have a new way, not only to talk to him and to commune with him, because he gave us full access to him. But he said, I'm going to give you a new way to be with each other, to commune with each other, a new way to be in relationship with each other. And I'm telling you, it's not hard. Because now that you have full access to me and to commune with me, now that you have full access to see me, hear me, talk to me, then you have full access for me to see you, Linda, for me to see you the way he sees you and hear him in you. That's the new way of living. You know, I didn't rattle that one, Shane. The table was important to Jesus. And the table is where Jesus foretold of his death, of his upcoming death. The table was where he gathered his disciples around. And they're all eating. They're all just kind of carrying on and doing their thing. And it says that while they were eating, that Jesus stood up and he broke the bread and he gave thanks. And then he began to share his heart. He says, take and eat. This is my body. This is broken for you. That's where the table is where in our relationships that it's full of thanksgiving. It's full of transparency. It's broken sometimes. It's where Jesus shared. It's where we can get real and share. The table meant a lot to Jesus. And this morning, what I want to share, Dad, at the beginning of the year, and God gave this word to Dad, and I believe he gave this word to all of us, three words. And Dad said, I'm going to make this year about faith, about fellowship, and about fun. And if you know Dad, that last one is no surprise to anybody. He's going to make whatever he does about fun. And as I began to prepare and study, and I started writing about my thoughts on relationships and what I wanted to share, and I looked at it, and I was in the office, and I had worked on some notes, and I met Dad in the parking lot, and I said, this is about faith. It's about fellowship, and it's about fun. And I said, I'm going to share that. And Dad said, well, that's a great idea. I wonder where you got that from. Anyway, then he said, I think I'm going to share on that too. So you'll get this again, but you'll get the Buren version of it. The first point for taking notes, and I may go through these notes the way they're on there. I know we haven't had notes on the back in a minute. But I'm just kind of feeling all kinds of different things this morning, so we're just going to see where it takes us. On faith, great relationships grow together. Great relationships grow together. Romans says, so faith comes from hearing, and that's hearing the good news about Christ. What is faith? We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What's that mean? I'll tell you what it means to me. It means that when I come here, when I do the things that I know that inspire me, coming here to this church every Sunday is going to grow your faith. Because you're going to get here and you're going to hear things that's going to go deep into your spirit. You see what, and it's going to feed that. It's going to feed that. This is a major thing. Your relationships are going to be better because you're here. And you're feeding that, because whatever you feed is what grows. And when I'm feeding my spirit, and you know, remember, whatever you feed grows. If I'm not feeding my spirit, then chances are I'm feeding my ego. And when that grows, that makes my relationships really struggle. But when I purpose to feed my spirit, and I purpose to grow and to go after the more, and know, you know what, I'm not just going to stop here. I'm not going to settle here. I'm going to keep going after the more. And what happens when I keep going after the more, and then when you keep going after the more, and when we get together, it is like, bam, this huge, I mean, explosion of God and of his goodness. I love this scripture, and it's in Colossians 2, and it says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. And see, when we are growing together, we become knit together with this understanding of who Christ is. That means we have an understanding of who we are. And there are times, I know, when I had my minor surgery, as Dad called it, hope he never has to have minor sinus surgery. I told Ralph this the other day. I kind of positioned myself, and I said, you know, I'm going to have some downtime. And I'm just believing I'm going to hear God, and he's going to speak to me. And it's just going to be just a divine inspiration. And I had divine nap time. I mean, I couldn't even think about even talking to him, listening to him, because I had no energy to do anything but sleep. It was so bad that one morning, Chris got up and he said, what are your goals for the day? I said, I think I might take a shower. And he's like, babe, that is awesome. I'm like, I know. So here I am, you know, not being intentional about growing. I'm just intentional about napping. And it was about 3 or 4 days later, and Will and Jennifer come to the house, and they bring food, another favorite part of the table to me. And Jennifer just begins sharing her heart. And she starts sharing, oh, Dusty, I got to tell you what God's showing me. And she said, God is showing me so much about the table. And right now, he's showing me my seat at the table. And you know what my seat at the table is? And I'm looking at her going, preach, this is my divine inspiration. And she goes, my seat's the mercy seat. And I'm telling you what, as she began to share her heart with me, it just knit us together. And I saw God. There it is. I saw him. Do you see how that helps my relationship with her grow? She's going after, I'm going after. You get together and it's like, man. And you see, God's not going to show me everything he shows her. And it's not going to show Jennifer everything he shows me. And that's what's the cool thing is we come together, whether it's with your spouse, with your children, with your friends, and you get this new revelation of who he is. Growth makes our relationships great. I'm going to speak real briefly to parents. And I feel like I always talk about parenting, but that's my gig. I mean, I'm right in the middle of it, doing it. And when I think about us growing in relationship with our kids and us wanting them to grow, two things I want to encourage you first not to do, then we're going to get to what to do. Children do not grow through criticism. Right. They do not grow through criticism. It doesn't work on you. That's why you don't hear it from up here. That's why you're never going to hear a message that's going to tell you how terrible you are or how terrible a way you're doing something. And if you want to hear that, then you're in the wrong place. Because you know when you come here, that you're just going to be simply reminded of who you are. But children do not grow through criticism. You see, what happens when we are critical is that we're focusing more on what we don't want instead of what we do want. And what happens is we reinforce the behavior. They feel like they can never measure up. The same thing happens in our marriage. If you're consistently critical of your spouse, then you're reinforcing this behavior, and you're just simply getting more of what you don't want than what you do want, because you've already fixed your eyes on what's bad, so that's all you're going to be able to see. Am I making sense? Whenever I fix my eyes on what I feel like my kids aren't doing right, then that's all I see. It's the same way in every relationship. Whatever you fix your eyes on, that's what you're going to see. And the other thing I would encourage you not to do is don't compare. Right. Don't compare. Don't compare your children. Don't compare your spouse. Don't compare your friends. Just don't do it. I will be honest with you, and I will confess right now, I compared Chris during my sinus surgery. I did it to him. I'd ask him to forgive me. But I said, you know, when Jennifer had her sinus surgery, Will never left her side. And he said, Will is awesome. See, Chris was, we literally got home from surgery, and Chris can't sit still anyway. And he gets me set up in my recliner, gets my medicine, food, drink. I see him start putting the farm clothes on, And then he's out the door. He's like, get everything you need, bye. I'm like, brother. And neither one of us, though, would be a good nurse. That's not, I mean, I should say it's not our gift, but I know it's not the right thing to say. We should all, like, you want to grow in affection. We both need to grow in taking care of the sick. But anyway, but I did that. But you know what? That wasn't who he was. And I could have easily just called my mama. And she would have been right there. As a matter of fact, I called my mama. Because she's going to nurture me. How do you grow your children? How do you encourage growth? We grow through example. Not criticism, not comparison. Just by simply being the spouse you want to be, by simply being the person you want your children to be. This scripture is not on your screen, but it says, and since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you example. Just do as I've done to you. Your kids learn from watching you. They won't always listen or hear everything you say, but they're watching. They will watch what you do. They will listen. What they will listen to is when you're having conversations with your spouse or with somebody, and if somebody's name comes up, and they will see if you are releasing mercy, forgiveness. They hear that, they pick up on the negativity or the positivity. Whatever conditions you are creating is what they're going to be. And this scripture came alive to me, and I cannot wait to share what I'm about to share, because this changed my marriage. It's always been good, but it's great because of this scripture. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, it says, your lives are a letter written on our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good works among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ, showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. You are living epistles. You are, when we talk about growing through example, it's like what I shared. God's not going to show Ron everything he shows me, and he's not going to show me everything he shows Ron. And I can't expect Chris to hear everything God shares with me or my children to hear everything. But when I share it and when they share it with me, that's what growing together looks like. And I remember years ago when Chris and I married, we did not grow up. We both grew up in great homes, but he didn't go to church every Sunday like I did. And there was so much that I felt in the beginning I wanted him to know. I wanted him to know the word like I knew the word. I bought the one-year Bible. Anybody ever read the one-year Bible? Super easy way to get through the Bible. And you start off, you read a chapter in Genesis, chapter in Matthew, throw in a Psalms and a Proverbs, bam, day one. And you do it the whole year. So I got him the one-year Bible, and I put it on his nightstand, and it never moved. And I just kept saying, you know, it's March. You know, it's going to take you a long time to get through if you have to start now. You got a lot to catch up on. And I put these expectations on him to be me. Instead of me just being me and letting him be him. But when I finally decided to just be who God called me to be, to grow in the things that I knew God was calling me to grow in, and to let him be him, he suddenly just, maybe he had always been this way, became this wise, man who can give this counsel. He and I have been doing this premarital counseling with a couple, and I had all my notes, and they came to the house, and Chris has no notes, and he just spews out this wisdom, and like, I'm like, dude, you're good at this. You're good at this. But I allowed him to be him, because I shared this with Ralph the other day, and he said, Chris is not necessarily the epistles of everything in here, but he's certainly the spirit behind everything in here. And see, we write our own. We write our own. The story of Jesus Christ doesn't end right here. The story of Christ lives in you, and it gets better, and it gets more, and it gets more. There is no beginning, and there is no end. We grow through example, and we grow through conversation. And I'm talking about with our children this morning. We can't just have conversations with them about homework and schedules. We can't just have conversations with our spouse about our to-do list of what's going on. Deuteronomy says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and commit yourselves wholeheartedly to the commands that I have given you today. And it says, repeat them again and again to your children. Just talk about them. When you're at home, when you go out for a walk, in the morning, when you're having breakfast, be intentional about it. You see, we have to focus on connection and not correction. Because connection is what conversation connects us to our children. And teens do not rebel from a lack of authority, but a lack of relationship. And you've got to be intentional about having conversations with your spouse, not to-do list, about the goodness of God and what God's doing in your life. You've got to be intentional about having conversations with your children about who God is and about the goodness in your life. And one of the reasons, and I shared this the other Friday night, we had a little Bible study connect group, and we were talking about how we have a hot tub, and we love this hot tub. And the reason we love this hot tub and my kids love it is because you can't get in there with electronics. Nobody's taking their phone. Nobody's taking their computer. And everybody just gets in there. We look at the sky. We talk about the sky, and then we talk about life. And that's intentional. Have the conversations. Growth is a key to great relationships. Fellowship is the other word that God gave Dad for the year. Fellowship. Great relationships engage each other. Romans says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Really engage them. And I'm not talking about your Facebook friends. How many friends you got? Well, we're friends on Facebook or this. I'm talking about real life friends. And so oftentimes I love social media, but it's kind of become where I know some people who've never felt more connected and never felt more alone. Because for some people, it's replaced that personal interaction. And I know there's this new thing called FOMO, F-O-M-O. It's the fear of missing out. And if you go to restaurants, you see everybody on their phones. And I'm one, so don't even judge me. I'm trying, working real hard. Anna's working with me on it. Anna, for some reason, has been, when we got her a phone, I thought she was going to be like her mama with it. And she is the antithesis. I mean, she can't stand it. It's really just, she has a better handle on it than me and most adults that I know. But she can take it or leave it. But real fellowship is loving face-to-face. You guys love face-to-face. I remember when Big Mama passed away, man, y'all showed up. When Jennifer called me Wednesday, I was at the school celebrating Jet's birthday for lunch, and I knew I had 3 missed calls from her, so I knew something wasn't right. When I called her back, she told me Paul had been in a work accident, and a glass had exploded in his eye. Didn't know if he was going to be able to see out of that eye or not, and continued to pray for him because we know that God's doing a work, and it's going to be good. But when she called, I knew then she didn't need me to pray for her or to pray for Paul. She needed me to pray with her. To be with her. And so you better believe she would have showed up for me. And so many of you show up for each other because great relationships engage each other. You see, God didn't show his love from heaven. He came to earth and he showed it through the cross. The word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. And the first time you see the word koinonia, which is fellowship, is in Acts 2:42. And it said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the growth. And to fellowship. And to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see, true fellowship, I'm going to go through this quickly. You honor each other. Always speak highly of each other. You always, when you're with them, when you're away from them, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your children, whether it's with a friend, we honor each other. We listen to each other. It means we give up our need to be right. So oftentimes we listen to respond and not to engage and to absorb. In real fellowship, we serve each other. It says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Motivate each other to acts of good works. And one of the things that we did in my home growing up is that I always watched my parents serve. That was the table. Serve at the table. People would come over. They'd be ministering to hurts. They would be ministering to people. Sometimes they would just be laughing with people, having fun with people. But it put in me the awareness that this thing's not just about us three, but it's bigger than us three. It's huge. And that, you talk about what's good for a relationship, bonded. I believe it's one of the reasons I am so close to mom and dad and our relationship is so good, is because we had this understanding of fellowship, what it looks like, and it looks like service. And you encourage each other. It says that you build each other up. You're simply reminding each other who they are. I was struggling with this message all up until this morning. And it started hitting me. I got an email from Chris. He got up. He had a good flight trip. It was about 5:00 this morning. And he sent me this email. And he said, you're going to do great today. And he said, this is how I know. And the whole thing was reminding me who I am. And then you know what he said? He said, get up there and have fun and enjoy it, and that you get to do what you do. And that right there, that encouragement completely changed. No, because the struggle wasn't the message. The struggle was me. But real fellowship, that's Joseph. That encourages each other. And it's just reminding you who you are. A fellowship looks like it's a safe place. It is where sometimes there are no words but to cry. That's why the scripture says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who are weep. Sometimes there just aren't any words. You're just there. You just show up and you just cry with them, or you celebrate with them. You do something with them. And, you know, sometimes I hear parents, they don't want their kids to cry, or they want to say, don't cry about it. When our kids were super little, we would always say, you're allowed to be upset and you're allowed to cry. You're just not allowed to be ugly when you do. But allowing them to feel their feelings is so important in their growth. And I love the movie The Shack. I don't know if you haven't seen The Shack, I encourage you to see it. But I love it when you're talking about tears are a gift from God. And I guess it was the Holy representation of the Holy Spirit in the movie has this glass jar filled with tears. And he looks at her and he says, you kept all that? And the response was, we keep everything that's valuable. We keep everything. So tears are valuable. Tears are a gift from God. A safe place is when we can be real and authentic with each other. Transparent. I show you the real me. And it's another thing with social media, and I love all the filters because it's fantastic. You can get out wrinkles. I mean, you can look amazing on Facebook and Instagram because of filters. But we've learned to live sometimes such a filtered life that I get to choose what I show you, that I get to choose what you see. But real fellowship is a safe place where we can be, the scripture says, to accept one another. And where we can be who we are, because that's where healing comes from. You see, healing can only come when it's brought to light. If you keep something that you're going through in the dark and you don't share it, but you want to keep it here or tuck it away in this nice drawer, it's just going to be compartmentalized. You never pull it out because you never want to deal with it. You never want to expose it. You're scared you're not going to be accepted. But when you do and you bring it to light, that is where healing comes from. Be such a safe place in your house for your children that you make saying I'm sorry easy. Make forgiveness easy. Make it all easy for people. That's a safe place. Great relationships engage each other in fellowship. And this last one, and you know it's coming, is great relationships have fun together. They just have fun. This scripture was the banner scripture over my home growing up. And it says, I recommend having fun because there is nothing better for people in the world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way you will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives you. One translation says, Solomon, he says, I commend it. I commend the enjoyment of life. You know what people want from you. You know what your kids want from you. I know what I want from Chris is I want his time. I want to have fun. Your kids want your time. They want to have love. Your friends want your time. They want to have love. You know, the average family is all work, no play. But great families, great friends, great relationships, they have fun. I've had to remind myself my family's not a boot camp. I'm not running a boot camp. It's a family is an art. Relationships is an art. And great families have fun. You see, if you're too busy to enjoy life, then you're too busy. You're too busy. I've always said all work, no play makes for a really sad Buren. You have to enjoy. In Ecclesiastes, it also says, people ought to enjoy every day of their lives, no matter how long they live. We don't know how long we're going to live. You can't put off, we're going to have fun a year from now. We're going to have fun tomorrow, or we're going to do this. You don't know. So you have got whatever living you're going to do, you better do it now. And if you have kids, you better do it with them. I had the realization the other day, I went to an Uprising High School meeting for John Henry, and it just hit me, what do you mean Uprising High School meeting? I just walked him into kindergarten. And there we were, and so I came home, and I'm just pretty much a basket case, and said, Chris, we got 4 years that the five of us do life together. I mean, do life together. We need to plan what we're going to do, what memories we want to make, where we're going to go, and we literally started pinning out our plans for the next 4 years, what they look like. And see, I get super sad. Chris gets super excited. And so we're not on the same page because I mean, all you moms who have already done it, I just want to come hug you and bring you a casserole, something, because I'm not ready and I don't have to be ready. But in the meantime, man, we're going to have fun. If there's one thing I want my kids to know, they're going to know they were loved and we had fun together. Chris is so good at this. I mean, he's the one who gets down with them and wrestles and plays and he's loud. I mean, Chris is a lot like a kid himself. I remember last year we were flying together, just the two of us, no kids on the airplane. He has his iPad pulled out and he's watching Kung Fu Panda. And I'm like, dude, people see you watching Kung Fu Panda. This is embarrassing. Stop. And he just looks at me. And he goes back to watching Kung Fu Panda. But see, it's easy. It's easy for him to, man, he can break out of, when he's in work mode. I mean, Luke knows, Luke works with him on the farm a lot. When he's in work mode, it's not fun, is it? I mean, it's fun to be on a tractor, right, Luke? But it's all about work. But man, when it comes to fun mode, boy, can switch a gear. And we got to learn to switch gears. We got to learn to switch gears and enjoy and have fun and to play. Right? I really believe this is why people love Disney World so much. Either you love it or hate it. I know people have a love. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I get it. But let me tell you the reason we love Disney World. And I know, Amy, you're just shouting to Jesus right now. Amen. We love Disney World because of this. When we go, do you know the whole thing is about each other? And not one time are we trying to get away from our kids. We're trying to experience something with them together. I remember we were at Universal Studios and we went and had lunch. And all we've been doing is playing all day, just playing. And we sit down and we have lunch together. And we're just laughing at each other. Everybody's so hilarious. You know, oh my gosh, you're funny. The kids are laughing together. And it's magical. When you do it, it's magical. And I believe that's why Disney World's so successful, because they have capitalized on fun, and we're going to give you something that you're going to do nothing but enjoy each other. And if you don't like Disney World, that's fine. Do something else, whatever it is. Purpose to have fun together. The scripture says, enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Your kids need to see you enjoy. Your spouse is there. It's not a business partnership. It is a really cool partnership where you get to do and experience life together. It says children are a gift from God, and gifts are meant to be enjoyed. That's why I think Mark Goss, I don't know if he's here today, he's one of the best dads I've ever seen. You know why? He just enjoys his son, enjoys his stepdaughter. He just enjoys them. And it says, so I concluded. I don't know if we have, Kitty's not here, so who comes up? Eric. Thank you, Eric. There is nothing better than to be happy and to enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. If you don't know how to have fun, get around somebody who does. Really, find people. You know the reason people love to come to Dad's deck? It's not to get all his spiritual insight. And it's good, but it's because he's fun. You know why? Whenever I'm acting like a goofball in the car, you know, Anna says, you are so gaga right now. And you know what? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Get around people who know how to have. Shane Stewart can have fun like it's nobody's business. Invite him over. Invite he and his family over to your house. Feed him, and then he'll entertain you, man. It's so much fun. There's so many people in this room who are just fun. Don't you love being with fun people? Aren't you thankful for a house that when we can come here and we know that you're not going to hear the same message, but if you do, it's going to be a little different because it's going to be newer. It's going to be a different level. Aren't you glad that we're in this thing to grow together? It's like when I preached Big Mama's funeral and I talked about the fact that this, when she was 95 years old and she graduated from the School of Positive Thinking because she kept going after the more. To know that you can come in here and that we can grow together and that God can show me something and God can show you something and it didn't have to be the same thing and we can just grow in it together. The fact that I can be real and that when I'm broken or I mess up, the scripture says that when one falls, what is it? Two are better together, because when one falls, the other can pick them back up. Aren't you thankful for that in our relationships? That when you're discouraged, that somebody can remind you of who you are. And that God says, I commend the enjoyment of life. Have fun with this thing. Because you see, with faith, fellowship, and fun, fellowship, our realness with each other, it hinges on our relentless pursuit to go after the more, to grow. And it hinges on to enjoy it along the way. And that's what Chris told me this morning. He reminded me who I am. And he says, have fun. Nothing's worthwhile if it's not fun. You get to do this. It hinges on these things. This is what makes Eagles Way so great, because you're so good at relationships. You're so good at it. And you know what's cool is when we come together, when we do it, and it says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, we grow together, we do all the things we know to do, then his love is brought to full expression in us. That's where relationships explode. That's where your marriage explodes. That's where your relationships with your children explode. That's where our relationships just grow. And it's good, and it makes life good. It makes life good. I believe we've only scratched the surface of what the table means in this house. And that gets me excited. Gets me excited. I mean, you find Jennifer, and God showed her even more since the mercy seat. Showed her what to wear, what to say. I mean, it's just, God's going to begin to show you your seat at the table. He's going to show you what you wear at the table. And it may not be the same thing I wear, the same thing Buren wears, the same thing Lynn, but you're going to wear something real special. Your seat's real special. What you bring to the table is special. What you bring to the table in my life is special. This table is special. And we're going to grow, and we're going to have fun doing it. Amen. I don't even know how to end, so I'm just going to end. I love y'all.
I wanted to go to Disney World, but I wasn't invited. always said I'm looking forward to when my grandkids go to Disney World. I get to go to Disney World. But I get to invited to keep them when they go to the islands. So y'all pray that I get to go to Disney World one day. I want to encourage you over this next month, April. I'm looking that Easter is our most powerful Easter service ever. And I'm going to share a message that God's been burning in my heart over the last week on faith. And we're going to talk about faith next Sunday. I encourage you to be, every Sunday leading up to Easter is just going to be really, really special until we just really see this awesome service happen on Easter Sunday. So I want to encourage you to be preparing your hearts for this. Literally, be preparing your heart. Come expecting God to quicken something in your life that never been quickened. I do have fun and I do have fellowship, but really this year, the word that is powerful in my heart more than the other is faith. I just want to grow so much more in faith. And I'm going to ask Leif to join me for it. But I tell you what, wait a minute. The ushers will come and receive our morning tithes and offerings. And after that, the praise team will come up. But we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And then this is the last Sunday of the month. We really focus on alms. And so after that, and the band singing, you can come down and give your alms, which is to help people in need. I know that over half of you now don't give in the bucket. You give online, and I know a lot of you don't carry cash or checkbooks anymore. Just remember the alms box, maybe tomorrow, the next day, and go online and give, and just put alms, and we'll make sure that goes into alms. But come on up, Leif. As many of you know, Will's son, Paul Doss, had an accident this week at work. I'm just going to tell you what happened, then I'm going to let Leif bring you up to par with where things are. Thank you, God, for this offering. We thank you for the people. We thank you that you do wonderful things, and you minister to us as we minister to you. And we love you in Christ's name. Amen. But Paul works for this company that have all kinds of different beverages, and one particular beverage is a fermented tea, and it's not an alcoholic tea, it's just some kind of fermented tea, and it has been known to blow up. The bottles just explode, and he happened to be opened a ice chest or something in delivery, and this tea just exploded, and one piece of glass went into his good eye. And for those that don't know, Paul only has one good eye. His other eye is called, what they call lazy eye. And he can see out of it, but not enough to function. He couldn't drive a car. He couldn't function in life with that eye. And so it's very critical when this happened that we just covered him in prayer and the surgeons in prayer. And there's a process of time, but we're believing for the best, great hope. And the vision's going to return, and it is. But let Leif kind of explain a little bit more.
So this morning I was up here and thinking, what should I share, specifics or non-specifics about Paul? Holy Spirit just kind of pressed on me, share a little bit of the past, share what's going on now, and share what's going to happen in the future. The past, Buren's already said, he's got a lazy eye, which is his right eye. The left eye is the one that was injured. So that's taken care of. That's the past. What's happened, the glass got lacerated his eyelid, which those are very quick to recover. The glass cut his cornea, which is the clear part of the watch face of the eye, and it cut it from one end to the other through his visual axis. Now, if you don't know what visual axis is, that's where the light comes into the eye, and that's going to affect his vision currently right now the most. It extended over to the white part of the eye and just in front of one of the muscles. Now, the key to this is the here and now. It could have been a lot worse. Could have been a whole lot worse. So I'm going to speak positives right now. He's got his eye, number one. Number two, he got immediate care where he is fighting now, not getting an infection. The fact that he got care so quickly is another positive, because that means it's very unlikely that an infection will set in. Three, his retina was not detached. So those are the positives right now, okay? And so that's the now. The moving forward in the future, he has the potential for visual rehabilitation. And the key is right now resting the eye. And he's with someone that is amazing in Atlanta to do his care. And another positive, okay? Barry Lee, Dr. Lee. Now, so where we're going to go with this, it's going to be months, okay, of rehabilitation. And it's all going to be in a stepwise fashion. But I truly believe that, this is going to work out. It's going to be good, because I believe it. And I think once you know the details, and I would personally like to pray the specifics over his care for the future, because I truly believe if I can give every one of you the gold nuggets that you need to pray that specific prayer, it's only going to manifest with greatness for his outcome. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we just come before you. We come before you asking for complete healing of Paul and his eye. We ask that you would just cover his family right now and lift them up in the element of patience and understanding that this is going to take time. Lord, we just come before you right now, and we ask that your hands be laid on every surgeon that places their hands in the care of his eye. We pray against any infection right now, Lord. We pray that as time goes along, that the eye is not going to react against the cornea as well as the lens in his eye. And we pray that there will be no retinal detachment in the future. We pray that in time that the healing will result in a fantastic corneal transplant that will take with no rejection. We pray, Lord, that he will then, if a cataract does form, gets complete visual rehabilitation with cataract surgery. We pray all of these things over this eye. We pray it over Paul. We pray it over their family for complete healing and restoration of everything that has to do with his visual system. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Man, love you guys. I love your music. I was just really enjoying hearing you play this morning. The singers are always awesome, but I just want you players to know I just love hearing the music and how you just jam. It's just good stuff. Thank you for giving your gift here. Thank you. Let's stand, worship, and if you got your alms money, welcome to come. And if not, just go online and do what you want to do.
Simple.
Yeah. I want to recognize somebody this morning. I didn't know they was here until I walked down. But BJ and Lauren are here with their twins. And, I don't know that in 40 years we've ever had twins born in the church. But this is how we grow. We just, man, it's quick growth right here. Two new members, just bam, just like that. But God bless you. And God just give you the strength to raise twins. That's going to be exciting. But you got a lot of help surrounding you. So God bless you. God bless you. See you next Sunday.